owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's pray. Father God, help us tonight to hear your word with an open heart. And I pray, Lord, that we might be obedient to what you call us to do, even those difficult things that we find in your word. Help us, Father, tonight to understand it. So I pray, Lord, you'll give me wisdom to be able to explain this passage so that we might not only know what you want us to do, but we might certainly go out this week and do it. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever realized that you have an obligation, you have a requirement to love those around you, whether family member or friend or people you don't know, whether they have the same color of skin or not, whether they've grown up in the same country or not, whether they serve our God or not. We have an obligation. In fact, I'll put it this way, we have a debt. We actually, the Bible says, God says, we owe love to those around us. You know, sometimes people say something like, I don't owe them anything. Yes, you do. Every single person that we come in contact with, we do owe them something. We owe them love. And that's what these three verses really are all about. The fact that we owe love. It is a debt that must be paid. It is a debt, the debt of love. As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a letter that was written about love and about this debt that I thought was pretty interesting. It goes like this. Dear Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. And congratulations on winning the state lottery. Well, you notice a few things in this passage. Number one, know the rule. Know the rule. There's a rule laid out here in this passage, and we need to know what it is. We find it at the beginning of verse 8. It says, owe no one anything. The rule that each of us as Christians are obligated to obey is to owe no one anything. The word owe speaks of loans, debts, sums, or rents. Carries the idea to be under obligation or to have to do something. God calls us to owe no one anything. Now, I don't think it means that we can never borrow, but I do think we need to be careful in borrowing. And I'll say more about that in a second. But clearly what it is saying is that we need to pay all our debts. That those of us who call in the name of Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have an obligation to be up to date on our loans and the money that is due people, and we need to make sure that we pay all our debts. In fact, listen to this. Psalm 37, verse 21. Listen to what it says. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Psalm 37, 21. The wicked borrow and do not repay. Not only do the righteous repay, but they give, and they do so generously. As I said, this is not saying we can never borrow. But it is saying that we must pay the money we borrow back. And I think with this, in light of this, it tells us that we need to be very careful in borrowing and that we don't borrow beyond our ability to pay. I think it is a poor testimony for Christ when Christians do not pay their debts. You know, you made a debt, you have an obligation to pay the debt. The problem is that far too many people live beyond their means. We buy things we can't afford. We buy on credit, which is often way beyond our means. We go out to eat too much. Our grocery bills are too high. We buy extras that we really don't need. And we live above our means. Living above our means means that we have more money going out than what we have coming in. And whenever we do that, we get ourselves in trouble. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." Proverbs 22, verse 26 and 27. "Be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you?" You know, we're living in financially difficult times. My brother sent me an email this week telling how much under Obamacare that the cost of Medicare is going to go up. So if you're on Medicare right now, I think the co-payment's somewhere around $80-some dollars. Within a couple of years, it's going to go up to over $200 a month. You know, the government is living beyond their means, and ultimately we're going to pay for that. And when we live beyond our means, ultimately somebody's going to pay for it. There's a simple basic rule when it comes to money. If you are having financial problems, there's a very simple rule. Either you make more money or you spend less, or you do both. If you're financially in trouble, either make more money or spend less, or do both. It's just that simple. In America, we have far too many toys that we think are necessities. How many people think they can't do without a cell phone these days when we did without cell phones for years? Or how many people can't do with some of the goodies that we have today and so many countries don't have them? I'm not saying we need to give up our cell phones, but if you can't afford it or if you can't afford something else, you need to be realistic with what you have. Because the Bible says the rule laid down here is owe no one anything. And when we do, we hurt our testimony. Now, as is often is true with rules, there are exceptions. So not only do we need to know the rule, but we need to understand the exception. Look at it also in verse 8. Owe no one anything except. Makes the exception rule real easy, right? Owe no one anything except, here's the exception to that rule. The exception is to love each other. In other words, the thing that we owe each other, the thing that we owe other people, is that we love them. That is a debt that can never fully be paid. The one who loves has fulfilled the law. Pay all our financial debts, make sure we're up to date on everything we owe, and we need to understand when it comes to love, it is a debt that will never fully be paid. In other words, we need to think of it this way. Everyone that is around us, we have an obligation, we have a debt to love them. It is something that is owed. We owe love to our fellow man because of a simple truth, because God has loved you. And when you realize that God has loved you, you have an obligation, a debt, to love everybody around you. Now, sometimes people say, now, wait a minute. I don't buy that. I don't buy that I have an obligation to love because some people just certainly don't deserve to be loved. Well, loving is not based on whether someone deserves it or not. Biblically, love is based on the fact that we have received love from God, and because we have received love from God, we therefore ought to love people. It is an obligation. Because God has given us, we are obligated to give that out to others. Let me show you an example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. I think this will help you to see it. Matthew chapter 18. And beginning in verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, now he's going to give us an example of that. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. And he refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant? Notice these words. As I had mercy on you. The reason you should have had mercy on your fellow servant is because I had mercy on you. The reason we ought to love those around us is because God has loved us. Now, this is not talking simply about Christians. It's not talking solely about family members. It is talking about all mankind. We have an obligation to both Christian and non-Christian to love them. In fact, this is the thing that ought to make us different than this world. John chapter 13. I give a new command to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You cannot say, I do not owe love. We owe love because love has been given to us. It's not, 1 John says, it's not that we first loved God, but God first loved us. And because God first loved us, we now have an obligation, a duty to love everyone around us. Should always be paid and never paid off. You can never reach a point where you no longer have an obligation to love. It is not based on whether someone deserves it. It is based on the fact that God has loved us and we didn't deserve that. As I said, the one another here applies to both believers and unbelievers. We see that back in Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us the example, the characterization of what love is. We looked at that several months ago on Sunday mornings. But you know that the greatest test of love is sacrifice. The way that we really know whether love is out there or not is by how much the one who loves is willing to sacrifice for the one loved. But Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. John 15, 13. And by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. 1 John 3, 16. And we can do that because God has put his love in our heart. God has poured his love into our life. So as we walk around as Christians, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and it goes on to others, but it is love. So it's not somehow a love that we got to build up within ourselves. It's simply the love that God has given us that we need to let flow out of our life. I believe we do that by really learning about God's love. by really trying to understand what God's love is. And the more we understand, the more we know about God's love, the more we understand how it relates to our lives, then the better we will be able to love others. Paul prayed for that in the book of 1 Corinthians. He prayed that they might understand how great God's love was. And we need to do the same. Now, the reason he gives us is that love fulfills the law. We love others because love fulfills the law. We take all the commands we find in the law of God and we summarize them all together, and then we might simply say, they all basically say, love. If sacrifice is the test of love, then I believe that obedience is how we know whether it is true or not. I do not believe the greatest chapter or the greatest verses in the Bible are found in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. I believe they're found in 1 John chapter 5, so turn there with me. I believe this is the greatest passage in the Bible about what love really is. How do we know whether we're really loving our fellow man? What does it look like? What is the evidence of it? 1 John chapter 5. Look with me at verse 2. And by this, what he's about to share, we know that we love the children of God. So how can we tell whether you love God's children? Here it is. When we love God and obey his commandments. See, the way we know that we love somebody is if we're loving him. Love does not start with a horizontal relationship. Love does not begin with me loving you or you loving me. That's not where love begins. Love always begins with a vertical relationship. Love always begins with my relationship with God. If my relationship with a fellow human being is not what it ought to be, it means that either me or they or both are not right with God. It's really that simple. How do we know that we love the children of God? We know it by loving God. And obey his commandments. Anytime we ask the person we say that we love to do anything that goes against the word of God, then our actions are no longer loving. If you ask someone to commit sexual immorality with you, you are not loving them. If you say to someone, if you love me, you will do this, you're not loving them. If you ask someone to lie for you, you are not loving them. If you ask them to do anything that would go against the truth of God's word, in that moment, those actions are no longer love. Doesn't matter how much you feel for that person. Doesn't matter how much emotion is involved in it. Doesn't matter how much human experience is involved in it. The moment you begin to, in your actions, not show love for God and not obey his commands, you have stopped loving the person you claim to love. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And he adds, and his commandments are not burdensome. So we love God when we keep his commandments, and as we keep his commandments, we know they're not burdensome. The person begins to say that God's law, God's word, is too heavy, too burdensome, too hard to live. That person is stopping loving God. So whenever you have two people not getting along, we don't start with the relationship, we start with this relationship. We try to find out which one is not right with God, and then we'll find out why this relationship is not where it ought to be. It's always the vertical first and then the horizontal next. Because the vertical tells us, it gives us the diagram. It gives us the basis for our love for another person. So we owe no one anything, except the exception to that rule is that we love each other, because what? That sums up the whole law. So by loving one another, we are fulfilling the law. That is the moral law. Of course, you remember Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment in all the Bible, in all the Old Testament? They were trying to trick him. They were trying to catch him. But he said the greatest commandment was to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength. And the second was like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Greatest commandment, love God. The second, love my neighbor. Before I can love my neighbor, I must love God. Once I love God, then I must love my neighbor. If I'm loving God, it only remains true as I love my neighbor. If I don't love my neighbor, I don't love God. If I don't love God, I can't love my neighbor. They go hand in hand. John said it this way, how can you love God when you don't love your neighbor whom you've seen? If you can't love your neighbor whom you've seen, how can you love God whom you haven't seen? Love summarizes or fulfills the law. Number three, consider the illustration. In verse 9, he illustrates what he is saying. Goes right back to the commandments. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now notice these commandments. These are part of the Ten Commandments. They are the part that relate to our relationship to each other. Do not commit adultery is the seventh commandment. Speaks of sexual immorality. If you ask someone to commit adultery, if you ask someone to be sexually immoral with you, you are placing them in the place of God's judgment. You are going against the word of God, Ephesians 5, 1 Thessalonians 4, many other passages. And by asking them to go against God's word, you are breaking God's commandments, and therefore it can't be love. Do not murder is the sixth commandment. It is obvious that if you murder someone, you're not loving them. Jesus said, even if we're angry with someone in our heart, we've murdered them. Do not steal is the eighth commandment. Isn't it interesting that we're living in a day and age where people steal without giving any thought to it? You know, the old saying was, if it's laying there, it doesn't, and you don't, it's not yours, it doesn't belong to you, leave it. I think the new saying of our society is, if it's laying there, you don't see anyone else taking it, it's yours. Adultery, murder, stealing, these are all actions. But notice the fourth commandment given here is do not covet. That's simply in a heart and a head. It's not doing anything. It is just being jealous and being desirous sinfully of what someone else has. In fact, I think if you go back to some of the financial troubles in America, one of the great things that caused it was people buying homes they could not afford. And the government allowing people to buy homes they could not afford and giving them loans when they really couldn't afford the loan. And people were buying those homes not because they could afford them, but because they want to keep up with the Joneses. Now, it doesn't stop there. He does what we would call today a lawyerly final statement. What lawyers do at the very end of a contract to make sure in case they haven't stated something, it kind of covers everything else. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, or and any other commandment. In other words, these are just examples, but you could add any other commandment that would go against loving your neighbor. If you break these commandments, you're not doing what God wants you to do. Any other part of God's word. Why? Because a neighbor does love does his neighbor no wrong. All of these acts, adultery, murder, steal, covet, or acts, are not acts of love. Love does its neighbor no harm. Love does not hurt others. All part of the second half of the law that deals again with our horizontal relationship. If you do your neighbor harm, whether they deserve it or not, in your own heart, you are breaking the commandment that sums up the entire law. Number four, grasp the summary. Grasp the summary. The rule was, owe no one anything. The exception to the rule was, except to love. The illustration that he gave of that were four of the Ten Commandments found in the Ten Commandments. And then the summary is found in verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. These commands are all summed up in one single command, love. Which is exactly what Jesus said. If you love others, you will not commit adultery, you will not murder, you will not steal, you will not covet. Love does its neighbor no harm. Harm would refer to evil or bad works. These actions that he's named would be examples. Any other commandment would fit in the couple of things that he hasn't named or that are not listed here. Notice it's a simple statement. It fulfills the law. God requires of us to fulfill his moral law. He did away with the Levitical law, but he requires us to fulfill the moral law. Now watch this. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days, that is the days before Jesus' return, that is the days from the time that Christ was here before till Christ comes back. And the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more we're going to see this. In the last days, there will be times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. In other words, the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more and more people that are going to have no love. Forget the fact that they're not going to have God's love. They're not even going to have natural love. They're not going to have the normal love a parent has for their child, or a child has for their parent, or a sibling has for their sibling. Rather, they would love pleasure. They don't love good. They would rather love money. And they would rather love themselves than love others. We ought to pay all of our debts, whether they are owed to the government or to our fellow citizens. We should especially pay the debt, the continuing debt of love. Now, I want to quickly give you one example. If we are going to love people around us, we ought to see that in what we do. Now, I said sacrifice certainly is a test of love, and obedience to God's word is certainly a thing that shows whether love is real or not. But there are other examples today that ought to be true of our life if we are going to obey this command. So turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to give you one example because our passage gave us several examples of not loving. So I want to give you one example of the debt we have to love our neighbor. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. I am under obligation. There's that word again. I'm a debtor. Both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We as Christians have a debt of love to everyone around us. Therefore, we have a debt to share the gospel. We have an obligation to tell people about Jesus Christ. We have an obligation to reach out to those that we meet on a daily and weekly basis to tell them about Jesus Christ, to share the gospel. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Two last verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The love of Christ controls us or compels us or tells us that we have an obligation to tell people about Jesus Christ. If we are going to fulfill this debt of love, certainly to all those who don't know Christ, we have an obligation to tell them about Christ, that they might know the very same Savior that we know. This helps to fulfill the debt of love that we owe. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, I pray that we would not ruin our testimony by not paying our bills. Lord, help us to live within our means. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to have jobs that would help us to pay those bills. And Father, help us to realize that no matter what, we do have a debt that we will never fully pay. The debt to love each other, and to love those we come in contact with. Help us to do that, Father. May we truly do that by telling them about Jesus. For we pray in his name. Amen.